Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. Always a honor to sit in for Jim, be a part of the biggest and most important show in our industry. Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. Brian Weber with you. It is a Friday, which is outstanding news. It is my last fill-in day, which is superb news for many of you. And for all of us, we have the triumphant return of Jim coming up on Monday. So we're an outstanding frame of mind. As always, I come prepared with 4.5 hours of content. I'm going to try to cram into our 3 hours together, but we'll create opportunities to have a conversation. Phone number 1-800-636-8686. Emails RomanHaveATake.com. Twitter BW Weber. Weber with two B's. Following the same formula as I do every time I'm airlifted into the chair for the Hall of Famer. Never overwhelm you with guests, just one per hour. And everything focusing on football, except for a little bit of baseball in 20 minutes and a smidge of NBA with the league honoring the legacy of the great Bill Russell. In 40 minutes, we take you across the National Football League with Jason Cole, longtime NFL insider for a variety of outlets. He's the author of a fine book on John Elway. Hour number two, we talk college football, which is just over 2 weeks away. Week zero kicks off tomorrow. We'll talk about consolidation and the future of the Big Ten Network with Dave Revson, their lead anchor and a play-by-play man for Big Ten Network. Final hour, more NFL analysis when we chat with Howard Balzer of Sports Illustrated and Sirius XM Radio. We're going to jump right in talking a little bit of Deshaun Watson. I'm going to preface my comments with this. I read your tweets. I don't react to all of them, but I process your information. Some of you have reached a point where you just don't want to hear anything more about Deshaun Watson. I understand your point of view. I appreciate that sensibility. Candidly, I find the entire topic to be tawdry and gross. So I'm just going to address what we've learned over the last 18 hours with the understanding if we find out during our 3 hours together that the disciplinary appeal that is being reviewed by Peter Harvey, the former attorney general of the state of New Jersey, comes out with a finding and the league wants that 6-game suspension bumped up to at a minimum 12 games, their goal is a full calendar year. If we find that out over the course of the next 3 hours, I have to change the roadmap, but I'm not doing 3 hours of Deshaun Watson today. Mention we're in a good mood. Alvin is here. Very excited about his snake draft coming up in fantasy football. Because when you think Alvin, you think Anaconda. Rid has moved over to the producer's chair. Here's my dilemma. When Rid is the technical producer, we have some challenges, I'll put it that way, but the show's on the air. Here's the good news for yours truly. I can't see him. He's behind a bank of monitors. When he is the fill-in executive producer in the box, nothing but creepy eye contact. And I already had a night filled of terror with Harry Carey bouncing around my mind. We'll talk about that in 20 minutes as we address the latest Field of Dreams game. And, of course, because it's baseball,
game on.
It's not their fault, but they're going to screw up a great thing because it looks like we're not having one next year. We'll talk about that. So Ritt is over there knowing he can't dance after my tirade last week. He can't look at me. Closes his eyes, it's going to be me losing my mind. So effectively, it's like my childhood, exactly. No breathing, no eye contact, just sit there and keep the chair warm. And with that, let's address what I think you need to know about Deshaun Watson. With a reminder, NFL preseason week one kicked off last night. More games coming up tonight. In 60 minutes, we'll start hour number two of the program, linking what we discussed yesterday with Bill Belichick trying to prove apparently to all of us that, in fact, he is the smartest man in the history of professional football. doesn't need an offensive coordinator, doesn't need anybody with experience on that side of the football calling plays, because yesterday he allowed Joe Judge, failed former head coach of New York Giants, and Matt Patricia, failed former head coach of the Detroit Lions, to split the play calling duties. But as we were processing our thoughts about how the Watson situation could play out, it seems very evident that the league simply does not want Deshaun Watson to take the field tonight when the Browns take on the Jaguars in Jacksonville. And I understand, just as I can empathize with those of you who are tired of the topic, I fully appreciate why the league wants him to simply go away. Because this is a disgusting story. And however you view it, and if you believe in Deshaun Watson, my pushback would be, did you read the report issued by the former federal judge, Sue Robinson? Are you aware of the mountain of evidence? Okay, but you might be a Cleveland Brown fan saying, I don't care about that. I just want the man who is going to receive $230 million fully guaranteed to be on the field. I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome. Friday edition in the jungle. You can chime in, 1-800-636-8686, emails, RomanAvatake.com, Twitter is BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. I understand why fans are so passionate. I care about sports as much as you do. After all, it's my job. More than that, pretty well documented, I have no life. It's all beyond a few other things that I have been focused on for the last 31 years, clutching a microphone. Still, we can't divorce reality from our blind passion for sports. And I've had my issues with how the league has handled discipline in the past, but in this case, I am fully aligned with the NFL. I don't think Deshaun Watson should be around the sport, and the way to execute that is for Peter Harvey. A reminder, he was selected by the NFL. He has worked for them in the past. They didn't pick a guy or a woman, which they often do as well. They didn't pick a person whom they think is going to disagree with the league sentiment. And when you had Roger Goodell the other day, or Goodell, if you want to be more accurate now, that's the updated pronunciation. Like when I was a kid, one day it was Tony Dorsett. Next day it was Tony Dorsett. Theismann, let's call the whole thing off. But when you had Goodell repeating verbatim the words that Judge Sue Robinson used in her finding, that Watson was guilty, in a football sense, of egregious behavior, and beyond that, predatory behavior, how can you have him on the field? So, as the momentum now builds for Harvey to make his decision public one way or the other, there are a couple schools of thought. If Harvey truly wants to be perceived as independent, maybe he does nothing today. Because after all, if Watson plays in a meaningless exhibition game in Jacksonville, where I presume he will be roundly booed, this is not Cleveland after all, and plays a quarter or a quarter and a half, what is the actual consequence of that? If Peter Harvey decides he needs a few more days to come up with his decision, I don't think Watson playing on a Friday night, especially a Friday night, not a Thursday night, weekend has a different attention span. We're all doing different things than we do Monday through Friday. I don't think there's tremendous fallout. So that's one reason why we might not get any clarity on Watson today. But if the league is dead set on making a statement, Harvey is going to issue his finding any hour now, and that'll prevent, presumably, Watson from showing up tonight in Jacksonville. I think he'll be barred from the facility as well, and that is a departure from past league discipline, which has been slotted in the way that even if you're not going to play regular season games, and with that you miss your game check. But for Watson, it's not that putative because the Browns were complicit with him in the way they structured the contract, protecting the base salary. He's only going to make, quote-unquote, $1 million on paper. So every game check he misses is a fraction of that, but he's still getting $46 million fully guaranteed and a signing bonus that won't be touched. That's another reason why the league wants a multi-million dollar fine. So last night we had the report from the Associated Press, reputable. Watson, according to this report, would accept an 8-game suspension and a $5 million fine. So what does that tell you? Obviously, Watson, his team, and the NFLPA are very concerned that Peter Harvey is going to drop the hammer. So, if we're at 6 games currently as a suspension, and there was the report that the league 4 months ago offered Watson a suspension of 12 games at $8 million, what do you know? Watson is meeting them almost in the middle. I'll bump it up, Watson saying, from 6 to 8 games, and I'll write you a check for $5 million. I think it's not even close to being enough. So Watson can now wait, like the rest of us, to find out will he be able to play if, in fact, we get the decision from Peter Harvey that Watson is banned for a full calendar year. Now, the Browns apparently have woken up and realized what the rest of us within the NFL have been talking about for 6 months. How can you go with Jacoby Brissett under center for an extended period of time? Because when we got the 6-game suspension, all the reports we heard from Cleveland, and I asked every NFL insider that we chatted with, came down to this. They think Watson's impact on the field obviously will be missed, but they believe, the Browns do, that Jacoby Brissett can be a game manager. He can mitigate the loss, hand it off to Nick Chubb, rely on a steely defense with a team that made the playoffs with Baker Mayfield a couple years ago. But now, what do you know? The Browns have figured out that, hey, I guess we might not have done our due diligence thoroughly. And maybe we have misperceived this entire situation. So we get the report from Mary Kay Cabot, who has covered the Browns for many years, from the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Whatever happened to newspapers with names like that? The Plain Dealer. New Deal, Fair Deal. You kids with your TikTok. I need more old-timey media outlets. Mary Kay Cabot reporting last night, if the Watson suspension gets moved up to double digits, 10 games or more, Cleveland now potentially interested in trading for Jimmy Garoppolo. The other name you're tired of hearing. I am playing the hits as a fill-in guy. Don't worry. My last show here until probably the day after Thanksgiving, if I'm lucky enough to come back. But I laid off the Brown-Garoppolo discussion because everyone we had spoken to said it's not going to happen. So yesterday, when I did a detailed 10-minute analysis pondering the future of Jimmy Garoppolo, I did not include Cleveland because I believed what I read. I believed what I was told. So I was giving you theories that Garoppolo could go to L.A. with Matthew Stafford's lingering elbow injury, an upgrade over John Wolford as the potential backup. So now it appears when Watson gets the bad news, which is good news for the rest of us, deviants should not be allowed in the National Football League. And I know that is a high threshold, and perhaps we'd be losing hundreds of players. I'm not the moral judge of professional sports. But someone with this kind of documented behavior cannot be allowed to be on the field for the foreseeable future. Most important, in my opinion, Watson needs real professional help. And I think that's another layer of what we're going to learn from Peter Harvey. I think the reinstatement will be contingent on behavioral modification, deep therapy, as Michael Vick had to go through after his heinous activity with dogfighting. So let's play it out to its logical conclusion. And I'm contradicting myself already because I wanted to talk a little Aaron Rodgers here. We'll get there at hour number 3 of the program. I will not do Watson again, although I know the audience is always drifting in and drifting out. So with Watson expected to make his debut tonight for the Cleveland Browns, unless the suspension is handed out prior to game time, whenever Watson finds out, he's going to be sitting for a long time. Let's just say it's 12 games. I think it's a full year. If Jimmy Garoppolo lands in Cleveland, and it makes sense because Cleveland has plenty of cap space based on the way they structured the Watson deal, San Francisco gets something for Garoppolo rather than just letting him walk at the end of the month, and that something is in the range of Baker Mayfield to Carolina, netted a conditional fourth or fifth round pick, Matt Ryan from Atlanta to Indy, a third round pick. So San Francisco gets an asset, whatever it is, and we knew that Garoppolo was not going to be a part of this team moving forward when it was articulated at the podium a couple weeks ago by John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. With the Niners getting set to take on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers tonight, Garoppolo number four on the depth chart. But if, in fact, it's Jimmy G to Cleveland, what does it mean? Depends on how you see Jimmy Garoppolo. Certainly more of a reliable starter than Jacoby Brissett, who has done virtually nothing more than be a placeholder, even though he's got a large body of work filling in for Andrew Luck. The two times Luck created issues for Indy while Brissett was there, when he was really hurt a couple of years ago, and then the sudden retirement, filling in for Tua Tagovailoa last year. But all told, Brissett is just 14-23 as a starting quarterback. Garoppolo, if you think that wins and losses reflect the play of a quarterback, I don't, has a gaudy record. So I think it's not debatable. Garoppolo is a step up from Jacoby Brissett, along with Nick Chubb. Kareem Hunt apparently now is no longer going to hold in or hold out. He's going to show up and try to ball out to get paid. And that defense you know all about, led by Myles Garrett. You plug in Amari Cooper. Cleveland is ready to win now. So, if you're going to forecast the AFC, how do you view the Browns led by Jimmy Garoppolo? I put them on that next tier of teams, like just about everybody in the AFC West after Kansas City, who's going to win that division again, but the Chargers and the Broncos being completely upgraded by Russell Wilson, the Raiders, depending on how much you believe in Josh McDaniels, Cincinnati behind Baltimore in the AFC North. I think Cleveland is in the playoff mix as well. My question is this: what took them so long? If they thought that Watson was even going to be out the 4 to 6 games that the speculation was forecasting, why didn't they make this trade for Garoppolo a few weeks ago to give him more time to learn the system? But the answer is usually right in front of us: because it's the Browns. Because they do not know what they're doing fundamentally. And if, in fact, it's Garoppolo, just think about the last calendar year, since we're using that term more frequently, with Watson facing a calendar year suspension. Over the last 12 months, you go from Baker Mayfield to Deshaun Watson to Jacoby Brissett and now Jimmy Garoppolo without a single game being played. Why? Because we're talking about Cleveland. I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome. Good thing I didn't send everybody in Radio Land to television my rundown, because I wanted to talk about Aaron Rodgers. And I wrote to myself, be brief on Deshaun Watson, but clearly I have many issues. We will focus on Rodgers to start the final hour of the program. Other than guests joining me, that will end my Deshaun Watson analysis, barring breaking news, so get excited about that. Alvin is already trying to figure out which defense he's going to draft. Ritt is still awake. We're only 18 minutes into the program. Anything can happen. Your phone calls, a possibility. 1-800-636-8686. Your tweets are straight ahead. BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. Just over 20 minutes from now, back to the NFL, when we chat with a longtime insider, Jason Cole. Straight ahead, I am speaking about baseball concisely and it'll be entertaining, I promise. I can't just do 3 hours of NFL today, although I probably should. So we had the second Field of Dream games last night. Harry Caray as a hologram, pure nightmare fuel. We'll talk about how baseball somehow is going to let one of its best new gimmicks go away, although it's not their fault. Plus, will Aaron Judge's pursuit of home run history captivate us in any way close to what we all were so wrapped up in 1988. Just getting warmed up on an active Friday. Always having a great time with you. I'm Brian Weber in for Jim Rome. You're in the jungle on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Brian Weber back with you, in for Jim Rome, getting ready for the return of the Hall of Famer on Monday. In the interim, we have a lot to get to. I move quickly, but I will make sure to get you involved. Straight ahead, a few of your tweets will be read. Emails, also a possibility. It is an ATP Friday. Emails, robotavatake.com. In 15 minutes, we talk NFL with Jason Cole. Check out his fine biography of John Elway entitled Elway, A Relentless Life. Your phone calls will happen now. 1-800-636-8686. Here is Billy from Toronto. Hey, Billy, you're on with Brian Weber. How are you?
I'm great, Brian. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I appreciate the phone call.
Brian, what is with this Cleveland team? I mean, seriously, you had the right quarterback. I'm not saying he wasn't a clubhouse cancer. I'm not saying he was the greatest quarterback in the world. And if you want to replace him, fair enough. But this is what you replace him with? This guy shouldn't be quarterbacking the Cleveland Browns after six games, eight games, a full year. He should be quarterbacking the prison football team. I mean, you've really got to be kidding me, Cleveland. What's next? If your running backs go down, you're going to bring O.J. out of retirement? You're going to bring Ray Rice out of retirement? I mean, this is just absolutely the dumbest thing I've seen in pro sports. And you know, here's what I would like to see happen to this young man. If he's able to play in tonight's game, and hopefully he's not, when he comes back, I hope the first snap, someone cuts him at the knees and ends his career. This guy is just an absolute joke and shouldn't be in the league no more. Not a suspension, shouldn't be in the league. That's all I got.
Billy, I appreciate your thoughts. I don't agree with the majority of them, but I can understand, especially on this subject, people have very strong opinions. Now, fairness and accuracy are important. Deshaun Watson has not been charged with a crime. Two separate grand juries in the state of Texas refused to indict him. We're talking about civil allegations. I'm not minimizing them in any way. You know my opinion. If you've been with us from the beginning of the program or over the last 6 weeks, I've been lucky enough to be in for Jim. I've been consistent and I've been in agreement with the NFL. This should be at least a year-long suspension. And Watson needs to get help because he's still in a spot of denial where he's claiming I didn't do anything wrong. And at this point, if you have the ability to sit somebody down and talk about why this behavior is occurring, that's going to be better for Watson for the rest of his life. So, Billy, I understand what you're saying, and I don't agree with a lot of the hyperbole, but many people think that Watson should not even be able to play tonight. But that's all now hinging on what we find out from Peter Harvey, the former Attorney General of the state of New Jersey. I promise tweets. I try to live up to my word. Alan in Manitoba. This is all Canadian radio all the time. We're going to do hot stove hockey talk. Rick, get me the head coach of the Calgary Flames on line two. Alan writes, BWW. Somebody has found out my middle name. Can we please talk more McRib? Yours, Deshaun Watson. Very clever. I see what you did there. Geoff and Lincoln, somebody was not awake during our production meeting. I said we're going to screen carefully. A, B, C. Always be chewing. Regards, Weber, wrapping the XR4TI project show.
Always
he is mildly amusing. Finally, Ken and Essay, Webs, we agree. Deshaun Watson has some real issues. So disgusting. Yours, Jeffrey Toobin, Reese McGuire, Private Winslow, Pee Wee Herman, and Jamal Anderson. And with that, let's make the awkward transition to baseball. And I'm going to do it in a concise fashion because I want to have plenty of time for our conversation with Jason Cole. By now, you know I am conflicted when it comes to Major League Baseball. And somehow, being on the air last week when the Juan Soto trade news has energized me. So, MLB Network is back in my rotation. I don't know why. I'm now breaking down wild card races, and I'm probably not going to be on the radio for months, but because baseball was my first love, it is amazing. If I even brush up against it metaphorically, I'm all in. So last night, like I think many casual fans as well, I was captivated by the visuals from Iowa. This Field of Dreams gimmick, that's all it is, but the presentation is marvelous. And not to get too granular in our industry, Fox does an amazing job with the optics and the drones and the sweeping wide shots. And anytime there's a fly ball, you get the vistas of the cornfield in the background. And who cares if it was the Cubs and the Reds? It was just a magnificent celebration of the game. Because baseball does those moments better than anybody because they have an unparalleled history. So, as I'm watching all the pregame and just enjoying how it's popping off the HD screen, of course, here come the Griffies. And I look forward to your tweets coming up in the next hour of the program. Yes, the kid probably has enjoyed some corn over the last few years. Feels like he's a fan of starches, if you know what I mean. And to me, the image I just can't get out of my head is, what was going on with that hologram of Harry Caray? And thankfully, we're not going to have the game reportedly next year because I feel like they'd go with the hologram of Tupac who showed up at Coachella a couple years ago. That was just unseemly and weird. And there's probably a generation of kids who don't even know what was going on. Like, who's this weird dude who can't get the words out with giant Coke bottle glasses?
Let's get weird.
Still, it's such a unique night. Why not? But because it's baseball and they can't seem to do anything right, yesterday I had my rant about the lack of marketing surrounding Shohei Ohtani, who's doing things we have not seen quite literally since Babe Ruth. Well, according to reports, and you heard it from Frank Thomas, who's part of that crew yucking it up on Fox, they have a good time saying nothing. Woo, A-Rod, you are funny, my man. Well, the one thing many of us have been looking forward to, and I can just give you a little bit of inside business trivia I read in a business publication, the TV commercial rates for that game, the highest of the regular season, even more expensive to buy time to be associated with that broadcast because it's so unique than the All-Star game. But what do you know? It's probably not coming back next year. Why? Well, if you have doubt ever, follow the money. Greed. Frank Thomas and his business partners are expanding the stadium to put more butts in seats to make more dough. And because it is probably self-evident by now with my references, I watch a lot of TV. Bravo's in the rotation as well. And I'm watching way too many fixer-upper shows. If they can flip a colonial in what feels like 2 weeks, I'm aware of the power of editing. I have worked in television for more than 10 minutes. But if all of these shows have Bob Vila with a hammer, and after commercial, he's built a mansion, why can't Frank Thomas and the other good people in Iowa find a way to get this renovation done in time for next year to play this game again? And yes, I know it snows in Iowa. This just in, we have seasons for now. So baseball pulled it off again, and the question moving forward, I'll do this in 10 seconds. Will you care if Aaron Judge can keep it going? Yankees have been very mortal. 2-8 over the last 10. Scuffling since the All-Star break. But with Aaron Judge now sitting on 45 home runs, and here we are still in early August. Let's say
here we are.
He moves past Roger Maris, and now we're talking about a pursuit of Barry Bonds record that should have an asterisk. Are we going to have the same kind of cut-ins that we had in 1998? Answer is no, because we're not going to do anything to detract from our addiction to football. And then secondly, and think about this, and I hope to work for one of these streamers, so I'm going to tread lightly. Baseball now has sold games to 1, 2, 3 different streaming platforms. And they have the right to allow a more mainstream broadcaster like ESPN to have a live look in. But what if Aaron Judge on a Friday night in September is closing in on Barry Bonds, and that game is exclusively available on Apple TV? People are going to lose their mind. But pretty good marketing tool. You want to watch the big fella? Give us more money, because we've not given big tech enough money over the years. I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome. Glad we took the phone call early on. Let's keep it going in the final 2 hours of the program. 1-800-636-8686. Top of the hour, we're talking about the contrasting developments between Bill Belichick's stale coaching tree. More evidence demonstrated last night. And Sean McVay living his best life with his protégés, living it up across the National Football League. Up next, more football. How much is Russell Wilson going to shake up the rugged AFC West? Looking forward to our latest conversation with Jason Cole, NFL insider, author of Elway, A Relentless Life. First, it is time for a sports update. Peter Schwartz has the latest.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
We roll on an active Friday. More phone calls could be a part of the second hour of the program coming up in less than 20 minutes. You could slide in at 1-800-636-8686. Your tweets will be read as well. It's BW Weber, Weber with two B's. Let's talk more NFL with an old friend, Jason Cole, NFL insider, author of a terrific book I think you should check out. I can't recommend it highly enough. Elway, A Relentless Life. Jason, we have not chatted for many months. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you, Brian?
Fantastic, and I love the pensive delivery. I'm glad we've reconnected. I have stated to start this show, I don't want to spend 3 hours talking about Deshaun Watson because I think the audience is tired of the topic and I find the whole subject unseemly. Still, we could have news today. So let me ask you, do you expect we'll hear from Peter Harvey? And if so, will the suspension be increased to a year-long punishment?
I don't know whether to expect, you know, Peter Harvey is going to make his announcement today. I mean, look, I actually know Peter personally. I've talked to him on many occasions. He's really thorough. There's a reason he gets paid a lot per hour. He's really thorough with what he does. He's very careful about what he does. He's very thoughtful in what he does. At the end of the day, however, look, this is sort of, to borrow a friend, an expression in French, a fait accompli, which is, it's predetermined. He's going to be sitting for a year. I'd be shocked if it's anything less than a year. It could be as bad as indefinite. But I think that, yeah, it's going to be a year that he's going to be sitting out because, you know, that's what the commissioner wants. And I think especially given the negative reaction that happened to the 6-game suspension, you know, and the interpretation, you know, rightly or wrongly, the interpretation was that the NFL did the 6-game suspension, where the reality is that that was independent, an independent judge trying to oversee this new process that the NFLPA and the NFL agreed to, and that kind of backfired. It really backfired in a big way. And now the NFL has to, you know, correct that problem. And whatever you have a negative reaction to the initial one, you have to overcorrect. So I would be, again, shocked if there's anything less than a year.
I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome, chatting with NFL insider Jason Cole here on CBS Sports Radio, the phenomenal simulcast on CBS Sports Network. So, and I agree with you, if we presume Watts is not going to play for the foreseeable future, what do you make of the report from Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland Plain Dealer, last night, that the Browns now would be interested in Jimmy Garoppolo?
Well, I mean, that's been obvious for months.
I agree,
the fact that the Browns denied it. I mean, not that the news has been out there, but that this is what was going to happen is plainly obvious because Garoppolo knows the system.
Mm-hmm.
He knows Stefanski's system. Stefanski coaches the same offensive system as Kyle Shanahan, right? So he can walk right into this and at least know the verbiage. He won't know the players around him necessarily, but he'll know the verbiage. It also really works because he's got a couple of really good running backs, and you know, they've got a good tight end there. So, I mean, that's a natural fit. And, you know, Jacoby Brissett is a nice backup, but he's a backup, and that's what he's proved to be over the course of his career. So I'm not saying that, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo is, hugely better than Jacoby Brissett, but he's better enough that's the move they're going to make, and the cost is not going to be that high because San Francisco doesn't have any – they don't have any suitors right now, so they're not going to sit there and ask for a first-round pick. They're really trying – for San Francisco, this is as much about, hey, look, we have to get this distraction away from our team and move on with Trey Lance. So I think it's just a natural fit all the way around, and I'm not at all surprised with the report from Mary Kay Cabot, who's been there longer than 30 years.
If Mary Kay writes it, it is valid. Jason, Lamar Jackson has received some criticism for not having an agent, but so far his approach appears to be working because Kyler Murray reset the market. And I read your piece on OutKick.com today that Jackson, as he should, is asking for Deshaun Watson money. Don't think he's going to get that fully guaranteed, but do you see the outcome being somewhere in the middle between Murray and Watson?
I think it's actually closer to if you took the Aaron Rodgers contract, which is $150 million guaranteed, which is only 3 years at $50 million a year. If you take that guarantee and the Watson guarantee, and then come up with probably a lower, you know, a lower average per year, you know, 40, you know, and still in the 45 range. The kid's going to be really good and do really well. That should be the number that they get to. And the other side of this is that if, again, as I pointed out in the article, if you play out the franchise tag game with this kid, you're going to be paying him $180 million over this year and the subsequent 3 years anyway. So that's $45 million a year. And you're going to have to keep him. The tricky part to this is if we don't know this, if Jackson and his mom are really trying to way over, you know, set the boundary of this and get like a 5 or 6 year extension on top of this, you know, like don't just do a 4 year deal that gets you or a 5 year deal that gets you that $200 million mark or, you know, thereabouts. But are you trying to get like a 7 or 8 year deal so you can really pump it up and take it even further? And that's where things get really sticky for Baltimore because you just I don't know how long Lamar Jackson lasts. I mean, aside from look, his interception rate went up. Now a lot of that was driven by one game in which he threw 4 interceptions against Cleveland. So I will grant that he had a pretty good passing year going last year. Except for one game, and then you know, and then obviously missed some time. But he's not a pocket passer. He's a guy who sets up a lot of his passing ability and the openings with his feet. So everything is dependent with Lamar Jackson on can he run. And last year was the first time he got injured. His average per carry has dropped. He's taken a lot of wear and tear. Is this guy going to be that good in 3 or 4 years? And that's the tough part that Baltimore has to consider. I think overwhelmingly they have to pay him.
Jason, as always, I value the information. Glad we had a chance to catch up. I hope you enjoy the rest of your summer. We'll chat again soon.
I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Are you really a welcome to the jungle guy, or are you more of a safari kind of guy?
No, I'm a CompuServe kind of guy. I use the modem. That boo! I still have a Commodore 64 that I log on to.
Okay, sorry, because when you're, I mean, you know, you and I being Stanford guys, it's not exactly welcome to the jungle.
I understand what you're saying. Jason, thank you.
You'll take care. Thank you, Brian.
I like when a guest brings up Stanford, so I don't have to. I like when somebody asks me a question. Yes. I remember when I went from the VIC-20 to the Commodore 64 changed my life. The Commodore PET that had the monitor right there. That's as close as I was getting any pets when I was about 12 or 13 years old. Jason Cole, check out the book, Elway, A Relentless Life.
And just that quickly.
A reminder, it is an ATP Friday. I've already had a guest ask me a question. You can get interrogative as well on a Big Word Friday. Time to ask the pros. You, the clones, get to ask me a question. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit your question. Be listening later in the show. I might answer that question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. I'll give you another obscure computer from the late 1970s. Timex Sinclair for the win. Throw that in your Google machine. See, watches were things we wore on our wrist, and it told us the time. Lamar Jackson better know what time it is, and I'm on Team Jackson, and I'm glad he's not paying an agent 4%. You don't need one. You pay an attorney to go through the particulars, and he's going to get every dollar coming to him, and he's going to keep the difference. My only concern is, he doesn't sign that deal prior to the start of the season because, as Jason was talking about, he's coming off a first extended absence because of injuries. He runs around to extend plays. He puts his body on the line, so he and his mother better be sure they maximize the guaranteed money. I think he's going to achieve that goal. When Jason's plugged in, that was a good story you should check out after the program because I need your undivided attention for the next 2 hours. 1-800-636-8686. Keep those emails coming with the ATP on the way. RomanAvatic.com. More of your tweets available coming up in the next hour of the show. BW Weber, Weber with two B's. And we'll start it by talking more football. Bill Belichick is back. He loves to engage with the media in a post-game press conference in the preseason. I'll let you know what the hoodie had to say, and we'll talk about the wonderful life of Sean McVay. I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome, here on CBS Sports Radio.